Now, this morning, I have told you this. There's times where you just don't need to hear from me. And there's times that I need to sit down here and I need to take the position of a learner and a listener and not be the one teaching. So we are going to be blessed in a few minutes here. Tony Tolbert, who is our community groups director, is going to be preaching this morning. Yeah, you can clap. We love Tony. This man gives so many hours behind the scenes to our church, and you just need to know, even if you haven't met Tony, he loves you. He is an incredible support to our church, to all the groups we have, a personal support to me. When we started this campus and this location, he came alongside myself and Don, he and his wife Sandy, and have just been incredible to us and a blessing. So I'm excited to have him get into the second part of this series.
This morning, we are going to continue in our series, Love, Dates, and Heartbreaks. And I just want to say, if you weren't here last week, I recommend that you go online to the church website and listen to the sermon, because it's a really good sermon. But let's do a little review anyways. Let's do a little review of what Pastor Will shared with us last week. He shared with us two myths that we have to face, two myths that people share or people believe about relationships. So the first myth is this. It's the right person myth that says once you meet the right person, everything will be all right. Now, if you were here last week, you got to see that that is absolutely not true. That is absolutely not true. It's a myth, and don't believe it. Then the second myth was this, the promise myth. Promise myth says, a promise replaces the need for preparation. In other words, once I say I do, everything's going to be okay. Now, if you talk to anybody who's married or anybody who's been married, they'll tell you that that is not true. If you don't prepare, if you're not ready for marriage, if you haven't practiced and planned a little bit, you're going to be in trouble if you think saying I do is going to make everything all right. Now, there were two other things that he shared with us that I want to look at, and these two things are going to lead us into what we're going to really talk about today. And the first thing he shared with us, or first thing that he shared was this. He said, instead of looking for the right person, you need to become the kind of person you're looking for is looking for. You need to become the kind of person you're looking for is looking for. In other words, you need to prepare for dating. You need to prepare for marriage. It's not just going to come naturally to you. You got to prepare for those things, and you got to prepare so that when love does come your way, you're ready for it. So you have to prepare for those things. And you do that, and this is the other thing that Pastor Will shared with us, you do that by following Jesus. You prepare for marriage, you prepare for dating, you prepare for your relationships by following Jesus. Because following Jesus makes you better at life. When we follow Jesus, it makes us better at life. Now here's something interesting. I don't know if you know this or not. But if you read the Gospels, if you read about Jesus in his life, because that's what the Gospels are all about, his life and what he said and what he did and the commands that he gave. If you read those, do you know that Jesus never asks us to pray to him? Jesus never asks us to make promises to him. And Jesus really never asks us to negotiate with him. What Jesus did and what he asked us to do was one very simple thing. Jesus asked us to follow him. Jesus asked us to follow him because it's when we follow him, when we draw up close to Jesus and we learn about the things that he did and we learn about the things that he said and we apply those things to our lives, that's when our life is better. That's when our relationships are better. And when it comes to love, Jesus had this to say. John 15:12, it says this. Jesus says, my command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Jesus wants us to love each other as he loved us. Now, in this passage, it's almost as if Jesus is saying, look, if you don't remember anything else I said, if you don't remember anything else I did, and he's talking to his disciples, which means he's talking to us. He says, if you don't remember anything else, remember this. Love each other as I have loved you, because that's the key to great relationships. And that's what we're going to look at for the rest of today. We're really going to dig into that. We're going to look at the fine print of what it means to love, especially what it means to love each other the way that Jesus loved us. Now, in order to do that, we're going to look at a very famous passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And if you don't know this already, the New Testament can basically be split into two different types or two different sections. In the first section, you have the Gospels. You have the part of the Bible that tells us about Jesus and all that Jesus did and all that Jesus said and all the commands that he gave and all the things that we need to know about him. And then in the second part of the Bible, which is pretty much the rest of the verses, or rest of the books, it tells us on how to apply what Jesus said. It's all about the application. And the Apostle Paul, he wrote most of the books of the New Testament, and he was a master at application. As a matter of fact, when you get into his books and you dig into his books, the imperatives that he gives us, the things that he says to us, the imperatives of Paul are really the applications of Jesus' new commands, the things that we're supposed to do. They're the fine print. They're the step-by-step how-to guide on how we're supposed to do things, how we're supposed to love. And we need to take those things, and we need to take those steps, and we need to learn those steps, and we need to practice those steps, and we need to train ourselves to take and do those steps, which leads us to the big idea this morning. And Pastor Will already shared this with you, but I'm going to share it again. The big idea is this: strengthening self-love requires training. We need to train ourselves in selfless love. We need to train ourselves to share that kind of love. Now, as I said, we're going to look at a very famous passage. Most of you have heard this passage before. Some of you have heard it in church, but probably almost all of you have heard it at some wedding someplace one time or another. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to start with verse 4. And the very first thing that the Apostle Paul says in this passage is he says this: love is patient. Now, do you know what that means? It means that love isn't pushy. Love isn't pushy. As a matter of fact, if you're in a relationship and you're being pushed to do something, that's not love. If love pushes us to do anything, it's to give the other person some room. It's to step back and give them some room, to be patient with them, to give them the space that they need. You see, love chooses, and it is a choice, but love chooses to move at the other person's pace. Not our pace, but love chooses to move at the other person's pace. Love doesn't pressure us to move, love doesn't pressure the other person to move at our pace. It calls us to move at their pace. Love, as I said, is a decision to pause rather than push. Love is a decision to pause rather than push. Now, here's what you need to understand about that. That's not natural. That is not natural. We want to go at our pace. That's who we are. We want to go at our speed. We want our relationships to go at the pace we want to go. And oftentimes what that does is that leads us to wonder, what's wrong with these other people? Why aren't they moving at the pace that I want to move at? Why aren't they doing the things that I want to do? Why aren't they as fast as I am? Or sometimes, why aren't they as slow as I am? And we want to push people to move at the pace we do. But the problem is, when we do that, it causes the challenges and the problems that we have in relationships, because we're pushing people instead of being patient with people. But God says, and love says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take and not push, but I'm going to match my pace with their pace. I'm going to look at the pace that they want to go, and because I love them, I'm going to change my pace to match their pace. Now, I want to share with you two important words. Two words that you really need to understand, and that's this. Love accommodates. Love accommodates. Think about it. Think about it in relationship to God with us. God didn't force his pace on us, did he? God didn't force his pace on us. You know, God didn't come down and say, we're going to do it all my way and at my speed. The Bible is pretty clear. God accommodated. God accommodated us. As a matter of fact, the best way to understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament is this. God accommodates to our capacity. God accommodates to our capacity. Listen, God came down and he spoke our language, a language that we could understand. And God came down and he moved at our pace. If God moved at his own pace, which is faster than the speed of light, we wouldn't know about anything about God. He'd be flying right past us. But God slowed down and he moved at our pace. And then what God says to us, he says to us, look, I want you to move at other people's pace. I want you to take the people around you who you really love, and I want you to learn to move at other people's pace. Now, we might sit there and think, you know, but God, they're not all that smart. And God says, yeah, but you're not all that smart either. And we might think, God, you know, they're not all that quick. And God says, yeah, but you're not all that quick either. God says, I want you to learn to move at their pace. I want you not to be pushy. I want you to be patient. And patience is something that we have to practice. It's something we have to practice. And if you're in a dating relationship, now is the time to learn to be patient. You don't want to wait till you get married to have to learn to be patient. Practice it now so that you're ready. The second thing that we see in the passage is this. Love is kind. Do you know what the problem with kindness in our culture is? In our culture, oftentimes, kindness comes off as soft. Kindness often comes off as weak, as weakness. But here's what you really need to know about kindness. Kindness is actually an expression of strength, especially for us men. It's easy for us to be harsh with our wives, with our children, but kindness, true kindness in our lives with the people that we really love is actually an expression of strength, where unkindness is weakness. Unkindness is true weakness. Because you know what unkindness means? Unkindness means that you can't bridle yourself. Unkindness means that you can't tame your tongue, that you say those harsh things when you shouldn't. That's what unkindness is. Unkindness indicates that you can't control yourself. That's what unkindness shows. Unkindness is evidence of weakness, where kindness is evidence of strength. So, do you know what kindness really is? Kindness is loaning someone your strength rather than reminding them of their weakness. Loaning someone their strength rather than reminding them of their weakness. Kindness is not being the one that always brings things up again. Kindness is not being the person that says, yeah, but you remember when you did this? And you remember when you did that? That's kindness. Letting those things go. Loaning people your strength. Kindness is doing for others what they, in the moment, can't do for themselves. Doing for others what they, in the moment, can't do for themselves. Here's the fill-in. Kindness is love's response to weakness. That's what kindness is. It's love's response to weakness. And it's what God did for you, and it's what God did for me. Paul several different places, illustrates a lot of great things. And one of the things he illustrates for us is God's kindness and God lending his strength to us in the middle of our weakness. Over in Romans chapter 5, Paul says this, says, while you were still sinners, God put his hands on his hips and he said, you did what again? No, that's not what God says. What it says is, Paul says, while you were yet sinners, while you were in the midst of all the wrong that you have done, even though you have hurt people, even though you have been hurt, while your life was a total mess, that you were all broken up, while you were still sinners, Christ died for you. That's God lending us his strength in the midst of our weakness. While we were messed up, Christ died for us. That's what we need to learn to do for other people. That's what we show up here every Sunday to celebrate. That's what we show up here every Sunday to remember, is that God showed kindness and strength in the midst of our weakness. So kindness is love's response to weakness. Now here's my question. What is your go-to response to weakness? When you see other weakness in others, especially the people around you who you say you love, when you see weakness in them, what is your go-to response to their weakness? Now let me say this. If you're dating somebody, you need to really pay attention to this. You need to really watch and see what their go-to response to weakness is. Because while they're dating you, they're on their best behavior. You know, they're trying to impress you. They're doing all the right things and saying all the nice things. But you need to pay attention to how they respond to other people's weakness. Because sooner or later, the way they respond to other people's weakness is how they're going to end up responding to your weakness. And you need to pay attention to that. You need to see it. And then you need to work on that kindness yourself. We need to practice it. We need to put it into our lives. We need to train ourselves and make sure that we're being kind. All right? The next thing we're going to see is what I'm going to call the toxic trio. Okay? Paul says this, love does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. In other words, to flip it around, what love is love allows the other person to shine. Love allows the other person to shine. Love is willing to step out of the spotlight, even if you deserve to be in the spotlight. Love is us being willing to step out of the spotlight and let the other person be in the spotlight, allowing them to shine, to have their moment. You know, not to be the one who has to always one-ups people, not to be the one that says, yeah, they did a good thing, but remember what I did? Remember how awesome that I am? Love steps back, and love says, it doesn't have to be about me. Let's let it be about them. Let's let them shine. Love isn't threatened by another person's success. Instead, it celebrates other people's success. But here's where it becomes hard. This is when it's hard for some of us. If you don't feel good about yourself, it's hard to let others feel good about themselves. If we don't feel good about ourselves, what we end up doing is in the midst of other people's success, we find reasons to tear them down. We find reasons to bring them down. But love is fine with someone else being in the spotlight. Paul says this. Paul tells us in the New Testament, he says that Jesus, by his very nature, was God. But he says Jesus didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, something to be chased after. Instead, Jesus was willing to defer to God the Father. Jesus was willing to step back and say, I want to glorify him. As a matter of fact, if you go into the Gospel of John and read that, over and over, Jesus says things like, I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of the Father. I came to glorify the Father. The words I speak are not my own words. They're God the Father speak. I don't do the things that I want to do. I do the things that God showed me how to do. Over and over, Jesus defers to God the Father. That's love. And that's what God and what Jesus wants us to do. That's what he wants you to do. And the question is, do you do that? Or do you struggle with it? Do you always tear people down instead of lifting them up? Every single one of us needs to pay close attention to our internal reaction to the success of the people closest to us. How do we respond when somebody else is successful? Husbands, how easy is it for you to brag about your wives? How easy is it for you to say, wow, she's an awesome lady. She's a great mom. How easy is it for you? How easy is it when somebody else is bragging about her? Do you step in and say, yeah, she's awesome? Or do you find yourself tearing her down, bringing her back to earth? Is that where you find yourself? Or wives, how easy is it for you to brag about your husbands, to lift him up, to praise him? You know, some of you might say, you know, I don't want my husband to get a big head. Well, the truth is, there's enough in life that's going to knock him down. As his wife, you don't need to be one of those things. If it's a struggle for you to brag on your husband or your wife, if it's a struggle for you to brag on your children or things like or the people who are closest to you in your life, you got something to work on. You need to be able to encourage. You need to be able to brag. You need to be able to celebrate other people's success. Here's the fourth thing that we're going to look at today. Love does not dishonor others. It's verse 5. It says, love does not dishonor others. Love does not behave disgracefully, dishonorably, or indecently. In other words, love does not create regrets. Guys, I'm going to speak to you for a minute on this. Do you want to know how unique of a man you would be? Do you want to know how unique you would be if you pledged for the rest of your life that you would not dishonor another woman? That you wouldn't dishonor her with your words? Do you know how unique you would be? How special you would be? If you didn't dishonor her with your look or your thoughts, do you know how unique you would be? If you didn't dishonor her with your friends, with locker room type talk, do you know how unique you would be? More than that, do you know how much more like Christ you would be in your life? Guys, we don't want to be some woman's regret. We want to be people who honor them, not people who dishonor them. We want to be men like that. You would be very unique. Honor is a word that we don't use very often in our society, but it's a word that we need to learn to use more often, because honor is at the heart of every satisfying relationship. Paul does us another huge favor. He defines what honor really is for us. And you'll find it in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. It says this: in humility, value others above yourselves. We honor people when we value others above ourselves. Does that mean they're more valuable than us? No. But we honor them when we treat them that way. When we do that, and all of us know how to do this. We really do. But let me give you an example. Let me give you a little bit of an illustration on how we're supposed to honor people. I want you to imagine for a minute. I want you to imagine, you don't have to close your eyes, but I want you to imagine for a minute that you have the opportunity to have dinner with your favorite actor or actress or recording artist. You have this opportunity, and it could just be you. It could be you and some friends. I don't care. It's your imagination. Invite whoever you want. But you have this opportunity to have this dinner with this recording artist or actor or actress. And you think about that. What are you going to do to prepare? What are you going to do to have this dinner with them, to plan how you're going to be at this dinner and what you're going to do? You know what you're going to do. You're going to find your favorite clothes, your best clothes. You know, you're going to put on your deodorant that day. You're going to brush your teeth that day. You're going to do all the things that you're supposed to do. You're going to be the best person that you can be. You're going to show up probably an hour early at the restaurant just because you don't want to be late. You're going to show up to be there with them. You're going to bring your best version of you. When you show up, you're going to bring the best version of you. And you know what? God did that for us. God, when he sent his son, he sent the best version of him for us. He did the same thing. And when we do that, we're going to show up. And you know what? We're going to be so kind. We're going to be so patient. We're going to be so generous with these people. And we're not going to dishonor them. If they showed up an hour late, you know, we wouldn't be like, hey, Denzel, man, why'd you show up late? I'm a busy guy, you know. Why didn't you show up on time? We wouldn't be like that. We'd be like, you know, hey, it doesn't matter. You showed up late. That's cool. I'm still here. I would have waited 4 or 5 hours to see if you were going to show up. You know, we'd be all excited that they were there. We wouldn't get all upset. And the truth is, we need to be the same kind of way with the people who are closest to us, with the people that we love. We need to honor them. We need to think about them as more valuable than ourselves. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of advice here. And this is some really dangerous advice. And before I share this, I want you to know I really did pray a lot about this week. As a matter of fact, Will and I spent some time together, and we talked about this advice, and he agreed this was something that I needed to share with you today. And so let me just say, if you don't like the advice I'm about to give, please feel free to call the church office and ask for Austin this week. But listen, in all seriousness, if you are in a relationship right now and you are consistently and constantly being dishonored, if you are consistently and constantly being dishonored by that person, if they are mistreating you, if they are just dishonoring you in any way like this on a consistent basis, you need to get out of it. That's not a healthy relationship. That's not the kind of relationship that God wants you to be in. And you need to get out of it. Because the truth is, if you are consistently and constantly dishonored in your relationship, sooner or later you're going to start to believe that you're dishonorable. You're going to accept that as the truth about who you are. And once you start thinking you're dishonorable, you're going to start behaving in a dishonorable way. And so if you find yourself in a relationship like that, you need to get out of it. Now you might say, Tony, but I'm married. And I know that that's complicated. And I am not advocating divorce. We know the Bible, what the Bible says about it, that God hates it. But God also doesn't want us to be in a relationship that's dishonorable, where we are constantly being dishonored. And so I give you permission. Get out of it. As a matter of fact, if you're here today and you find yourself in a relationship like that, pull your phone out right now. Now, normally I wouldn't tell you to break up by telephone, by your cell phone, or text. But pull it out right now and text that person and tell them we're done. And then take your phone and give it to your neighbor and change your phone number so they can't get back to you. Okay? But you need to be out of it. You don't need to be in that kind of relationship. So the application, the real application of this point is this. Don't be dishonorable. Be an honorable person. With the people you love, be an honorable person. Now, some of you are here today, and you're in the dating game. It's that time of season in your life, and you're dating. And you're probably sitting there thinking, now, you know, Tony, this advice you're giving us, this is terrible. I mean, what kind of date is this? What kind of dating environment is this? I mean, you're telling me I got to be nice. I got to be kind. I've got to be patient with people. It means I got to go on the date, and I've got to listen to what she has to say. And I got to listen to what he has to say. And I got to say, oh, that's cool. I've never heard anything so amazing. That's awesome. And we got to say those kinds of things to people. We got to be kind and nice. And you're going, and then, you know, I got to take them home at 9 o'clock because I know they got to work the next day and I want them to be well rested and to get all the sleep that they need. And that sounds terrible. That's a terrible kind of date. But here's the thing that you need to understand. The culture we live in doesn't teach us to date like that. It doesn't teach us to be patient. It doesn't teach us to be kind. It doesn't teach us to honor people and let people be in the spotlight. The culture of our dating today is not about becoming somebody. Our culture is about getting somebody. But God told us when it comes to love, when it comes to being the kind of person he wants us to be, that dating should be about being somebody, becoming somebody, about being the person that you need to be. You may not like it, but that's how we've got to be. And this, doing these things that we've talked about this morning, this is how you become a person worth looking for. It's how you become the person that other people are looking for. And it's also how you become the person worth staying for. And that's who we want to be. Somebody that when we get in that relationship, especially once we get into that marriage, that the other person wants to be with us. That we're the person worth staying for. Now here's the promise. As we close up this morning, here's the promise. If you do these things, if you put these things into practice, if you really train yourself to do these things, and this is where Pastor Will is going to pick up next week, but if you do these things, if you love this way, and you prepare this way, then you're going to have successful relationships. There's no doubt about it. You're going to have successful relationships. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. Lord, I thank you and praise you that you sent your son to show us how that we needed to love. Lord, our culture doesn't always teach us the right way. Our culture is out of whack sometimes. But I'm glad that your son showed us. I'm glad that he lived the example so we know how to love one another. I thank you for your love, Lord, and thank you for your blessings on us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Would you thank Tony? I wanted Tony to teach on this because this is a man who honors his wife and he honors his family. And we want to be people who honor one another well and honor our loved ones. And he takes marriage seriously and what Scripture says about marriage. But we know at the same time that some of you are in relationships that are abusive and destructive and some things need to change. And we want to always advocate and fight for marriage and believe that God can redeem those things. We want to fight with you for those good things, but some of you need to say enough is enough in some certain areas and some things need to change.